Psalm 16 this morning, not my typical way of dealing with the Lord's table service, but meditation, really particularly on one of the verses in this psalm. Normally we've been going to 1 Peter. 1 Peter is getting very practical right now in talking about how certain things that Peter's been talking about applies to wives and to husbands, and it didn't quite feel like it fit with what we're doing with the Lord's table. It always does. It's just kind of the angle that the minister can would come at it from. But I thought I might save that for another time when I could spend time on some of the practicalities in 1 Peter 3, and instead look at this from the psalm this morning. It's mainly verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. When I was in my first year of after university, I was doing some further education in what's graduate school, and Abby was finishing her undergrad that year, and at about the Christmas break, we got engaged, and then, you know, we were going to get married that following summer. So it was going to be about 7 months, something like that, until we were married, 6.5 months. And during that time, you know, both of us were quite busy. She was busy with things. I think she was student teaching somewhat at the time. I was doing work for 30 hours, taking class for 10 hours, and then any other time doing homework, lots of reading. Some of you other men know that graduate work is a lot of reading and study. But most nights, we would still make time to be together. 30 minutes, 60 minutes, we would get together. We might read through a psalm together. Or we would just chat together, but every night we would try to get together, be together. We would work hard and discipline ourselves in other areas so that we would have that time with one another. And we did. We organized everything else in our relation around that relationship because we were determined to be together. And you know, many of you who've been in relationships, you know what that's like. And all of the plans that we were making were going to be in light of our life together. So, you know, we're just thinking of the future somewhat, mostly the immediate future, but thinking through what God might do with us and through us. Well, that's a little bit what we're thinking about this morning in terms of our relationship with God. That you have to, and I have to, determine to meet together with the Lord regularly. And that involves our plans for today and tomorrow and for the future. You know, what does the Lord have for me? And there's a lot of ups and downs in life, just like, you know, in a relationship, you have these ups and downs, but there's this fixed determination. To live in the reality of that relationship that you have, you know, whether it's in that case, you know, in the case that I was describing, the relationship that I was going to have with Abby, like my whole future was setting out before me, and it was in terms of the parameters of my life with a spouse. The same thing is true with the Lord in many respects, isn't it? I mean, you're looking at your life in terms of what pleases Him. I think that's pretty obvious for believers, and it's something that almost goes without saying. We would think, yes, of course, that's what's supposed to happen. But in reality, we know that there are things that militate against that, that we have to struggle and we have to determine that I'm going to set the Lord before me. And so here's this passage that we have from David. where he's going through ups and downs. And what is he going to do? What is he going to turn to when he feels like I'm really going through a hard time right now, or I'm really struggling in this situation, or I've just had another fall? David is going to return to this and say, "Preserve me, O God." And he's going to reveal what's in his heart. "I have set the Lord always before me." And so we want to meditate on that just briefly this morning in preparation for our Lord's table service. My points aren't great in parallel, but at least you can follow my thought here. First of all, what does it mean to set God before yourself? That's what we have there. "I have set the Lord always before me." How can a man set God before him? All right, I'm being very pedantic here, but yeah, let's just spell this out. What does it mean? I have set the Lord before me. So it's not that we're setting God so much before us. It's more David dealing with himself and setting himself in the presence of God. It's like him saying, "I'm going to remind myself of this. I'm going to set God before me." Many of you remember Robert Coulson. He one time was telling me about how he has this little sign that he puts on his mirror in the bathroom. I think it's from a particular group that uses it to remind people of their responsibilities, but have this sign. He had it on his bathroom mirror so that he would see it regularly. And the sign said, "You're looking at the problem." Okay? And you know, you have that there to remind yourself, look, you've got responsibilities in this situation. You can't blame bad luck, can't blame other people. You've really got to take responsibility for a situation, for what you're in. You're looking at the problem. It's he puts it in that place to remind himself, right, of being mindful, of taking responsibility. And I think that's what David's referring to. I have set this before me. This is what I've purposed in my heart. I'm going to put this in front of me so that I'm regularly reminding myself of this, right? I've set the Lord before me. David is saying that he will bring himself into that position where he's mindful, thoughtful about God all the time. Do you find times when you're not mindful of God? Do you find times where you go through life and, you know, you can spend half your morning thinking about the news, thinking about some other event that's going on in life, and you're not mindful of the fact that the Lord is the Lord? You know, it's like these verses that I read first thing this morning as we opened the service. It refers to "your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth. It stands fast. By your appointment, they stand this day. For all things are your servants." Ever forget that all things are your servants? I often do. So this idea of setting implies a determination on David's part, right? And that's really the theme that I've been drawing out, determined to live in the presence of God. And I think you see it running through this whole psalm. Verse 5, "O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot." Verse 7, "I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night season." So David has this clear determination to always set the Lord before him. It's an act of his will, a definite decision. And this determination involves thought and consideration, right? It means I'm going to envision my week now, my walking with God. How is that going to start on Monday, right? How is that going to happen late Monday morning? How is that going to happen after work on Monday? How is that going to happen before I go to bed? How am I going to determine to set the Lord always before me. It's an act of your will, a definite decision that involves thought and consideration and even meditation. So it's the outcome of a process of reasoning that you come to the determination that this is what I must do. Right? Why would you do that? Can I just argue for this for a second? Why would you do that? Is your life better if you don't do that? Are your thoughts more encouraging if you don't do that? Is the outcome of your life better if you say, well, it's not that important for me to set the Lord always before me? No, this involves your eternal state. I mean, this is how David ends this psalm, isn't it? You will not leave my soul in Sheol, in the grave. We read about that in 1 Thessalonians 4. I didn't intend that, but the Lord evidently did. Verse 11, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of sadness, boringness. It's just kind of dull. There's no bright lights and entertainment. No, in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forever. Do you believe that? I mean, to me, sometimes when I read that, I'm kind of shocked by it. Like, does the Bible really say that? That this is what God intends for me? I thought only the world offered pleasures. Did you know that God is the one who gave you the capacity for your pleasures? That if there's anyone who understands what really will give you pleasure, it's Him? And that He is the one who's determined for eternity to give you not a smidgen of joy, right? Not, you know, half full cup. No, fullness of joy. Pleasures forevermore. Right? More joy and more pleasure than your mind can imagine. It is. It's like C.S. Lewis said, here we are and we're in a slum playing in mud puddles because we don't even know that on offer is a day at the beach. We have this problem, the problem of drift I want to raise here. We allow life to manipulate us and carry us along. Right, we've got a full schedule. We've got deadlines that are coming up. We have meetings. We have work. We have responsibilities. We just end up doing things because we know we've got to get it done. And you know, I was reading to my son yesterday this little book that's encouragement for young men. That the Spirit, one of the things that the Spirit brings in your life is joy. And Jesus would often come to his disciples and say, be of good cheer. be of good cheer. You know, here they are, they're fretful, they're on this boat, they see what they think is a ghost coming across the water, and Jesus calls out to them, be of good cheer. Here we are, and we're just kind of carried along by our responsibilities, and there's no joy in it. There's no nice day to somebody. There's no pick somebody else up. They're just kind of trudging along, okay? I know many of you are much more joyful people than I am, but sometimes I can be this way. But this is what God intends for you and me, to be joyful people. You know, we do things because we feel like we ought to, but at times we just kind of just going through life and we're not aware of accomplishing any other purpose in ourselves other than existing. And we just kind of drift along and allow life to manipulate us. Instead of living more purposefully, we just drift. And in order to really get ourselves out of that, there is this, what we read here, this necessity of determination. We know that God is in control of events and circumstances. He sets up one, he puts down another. He calls Cyrus 100 years before Cyrus is going to deliver his people and send them back. He calls him out by name, Isaiah tells us. The Lord is in control of events and circumstances. And we know that God's work is always going to be accomplished and that it's only accomplished by him. Without him, we are nothing. However, that does not mean that we are totally passive, does it? It doesn't mean we just kind of live and let live. We cannot get up in the morning and say, well, I don't feel spiritual today. Maybe tomorrow I will. No, we do what David says. I have set the Lord always before me. How do you do that? Right? Surely your own spirit, your own Christian experience tells you how you ought to do that. You ought to read and meditate on God's word. You ought to sing. Do you ever sing yourself? Do you ever take a hymn? You're while your time away, do you ever whistle or hum a tune? Something encouraging. Prayer. This is the Lord's example. I mean, the more and more burden that is heaped on him, the more time he would seem to take to go off to a place, a solitary place, and pray. He was setting, okay, can I say this appropriately? He was setting the Lord before him in all of his circumstances. He was setting his Father's purpose above his own purpose. Number two, always, okay? The next point there is always. Not when I feel like it, not when I'm in trouble. I'm going to set the Lord always before me. This also is this determination. We read in James, a double-minded person is unstable in all his ways. What is a double-minded person? It's a person who has cross purposes. It's like, well, I want to serve God, but I really need to do such and such, in the sense that I really want to depend on myself in this area, right? We've got to trust God, but this is important to me, right? And it's kind of a split in us. So we might set God aside when we set entertainment before us. Or we might set God aside when we set our career in front of us. Or we might set God aside when we set some person in front of us. And I just want to have this particular relationship. And you know, God's over here, but I'm going to have this relationship. And we end up following their plans and their goals and not the Lord's. That's what can happen to any of us. Or we just constantly set our worries before us. I'm going to set God over here, and I just need to worry about this. And it displaces God. Or we set a holiday or comfort or our own plans. No, those things that I just mentioned, those are good, okay? It's fine to have holidays. It's fine to have plans. It's fine to have comfort. But they have to be in their own place if we set them before us instead of God. If we say, well, I can't do with doing what God wants me. I just need comfort right now, or I just need a break from it all. No. When you go on break, you go with the Lord, don't you? When you make your plans, you make them with the Lord. When you find comfort, it's time when the Lord takes you aside to a solitary place. If we put God over here and we're going to do this, we're unstable in all our ways. Okay. You ever find this? Why am I so up and down emotionally? Why am I always down in the depths like this? Well, sometimes it'd be good to evaluate ourselves. Maybe it's because I'm a double-minded person. I'm not setting the Lord always before me. Look, David goes through a lot of ups and downs himself when he's determined to put the Lord before him. So I'm not saying that's the only reason, but it is one to think about. Why am I so up and down? Am I undivided in my devotion to the Lord in this? Number three, and here's where I think we can bring it around to the Lord's table. There is a great privilege in this. There's a great privilege in setting the Lord always before me. Christianity and Christ are all about bringing us into fellowship with God. This is what we're all about. It's about bringing us into fellowship with God. This is why the Lord Jesus came. This is the purpose of this table, to remind us, right? It's one of the means of kindness that God has toward us to help us set the Lord always before me. This is why we come on a Lord's Day, to remind ourselves to set the Lord always before me. This is why we observe this table at least once a month, to set the Lord and His ways always before me. This is part of our practice of that. But there is this great privilege here in being brought into fellowship with God. Remember, Adam and Eve, before they fell, they would meet with God and walk with Him in the cool of the day. And there was this fellowship, this open fellowship that they had with the Lord. One of the things we read about Enoch is that he walked with God. Noah, the thing that God mentions about him is that Noah walked with God. Abraham, right? The thing that he's remembered for is that he was the friend of God. Abraham, my friend, he walked with God. You and I can walk with God every day. In fact, that's why Jesus came, so that you and I would have entrance. Remember, we sang about this just the other week. The veil is torn, right? There isn't this separation between us. We are led right into the throne room, not in our own name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have full and free access, and it's all because of His sacrifice. God was so determined about this that He redeemed us by sending the Lord into this fallen world to bear our sin. And so we observe this table this morning to remember how determined God was, so we would be determined to set Him always before us. Then I also want to remark on the great comfort of it. We face a great enemy. There is this tempter comes along and tempts you when you're down, when you're weak. He is powerful. The Bible warns you of this. He's a roaring lion, prowling about, seeking whom he may devour. We don't just wrestle against flesh and blood. There are authorities and powers unseen that we wrestle against. Do we think we can withstand them in our own strength? The great comfort is, there is one who's overcome the world. So we have in one of our hymns, "I need thee every hour, stay thou nearby." Why? Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. Isn't that the case? That when you're keeping in step with the Spirit, right? When you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of your flesh. Not only do you face a great enemy, you face trials. We don't know what we'll face in the coming week or the coming month. What in the last year of your life could you have predicted? Right? Think about the things that have transpired and how they came about. Could you have predicted those things? None of us could have. Think of new friendships that have been formed, or friendships that have really deepened in the last year. Think of friends that you no longer have. You know, some of those things aren't things that you could have predicted or thought through. I cannot say what's going to happen to any of us in the future, but I know exactly what will prepare us for what will happen in the future. The thing that will prepare you for that, the thing that will preserve you, is if you set the Lord always before you. I don't always set the Lord before me. There are times when I hit what I feel like is a roadblock. And then I can quickly enter into kind of a downward spiral in my spirit. I can worry, I can grow cold, I can look at the situation, and I just want to escape. And as you're in this downward spiral, you just feel like you cannot stop. And then, you know, the Lord sometimes will just kind of arrest me, bring you to your senses, and you look back and you say, what a fool I've been. Do you say that? Do you look back and say, what a fool I've been? The table this morning is a chance for you to do that. I mean, that's what a Christian does. Right? Someone else might look back and say, oh, that was a fun ride. Maybe I'll do that again. But a Christian looks back at it and says, what a fool. Why was I so foolish? Right? Why was I so afraid in the dark when all I had to do was turn the light on? John Bunyan talks about this, doesn't he? He's in this giant despair's castle, locked up, and just constantly being beaten down. And then all of a sudden, Bunyan has Christian saying, how he realized that all along he had the key that unlocks any lock right in his breast pocket. And it's this key of faith. You just look to the Lord in these situations, and it can bring you out of your giant despair. What a fool I've been. Father, we pray that you would turn us again this morning from sin and enable us to set you before us. We pray that even our observance of this table this morning would be the corrective that we need to set our hearts to be determined to put you before us always. And Father, help us. Help us in these times when we feel like we've just drifted along. And we want to make an asserted effort to pursue the joy and peace that you determine for us. And so in the midst of our circumstances, there's going to be trouble and difficulty. But in the midst of that, we pray that we could still smile, that we could still say hello to other people, that we would still acknowledge that the Lord is at my right hand. I will not be moved. Help us, Father, to remind ourselves that at your right hand are pleasures forevermore, that you are determined to fill us with joy. And Father, you went to the extent of offering your own Son for our sin to make that happen. And so, Father, help us also to determine to follow him, to give up our lives, to lose our lives so that we can find them in Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.